Well, how great is our Lord? That's a great song to begin with. And I am giving you my testimony from the Lord. I grew up in a small town in Ashburn, North Carolina. And I had my grandparents and my relatives, aunts and uncles, all lived in the same town. So it was much togetherness with us there. And it was a great place to grow up, great heritage in a small church. I had attended a church much as you do here, and I learned early that God loved me and cared for me, and that he sent Jesus Christ to forgive me for my sins. And that Jesus, we learned about how Jesus wanted us to live and to work and to follow him, and to ask him to take care of us in life. So when I was 12 years old, I asked Christ to enter my life. I asked Jesus to lead me, to guide me, to forgive me for my sins, because I knew I was a sinner, and that he would lead my life. And I know that he did. And I felt that peace of God, that God was taking over and Jesus Christ was going to lead my life. As I kept going in the church, the children's program was excellent. We just learned so many things and studied scriptures, memorized scriptures, much as you are doing here, and it was really a blessing. As we entered youth, it was a good program, but as we entered to adulthood, things seemed to change, and it was not the same close relationship and discipleship in the early grades. I didn't know how to seek anything differently, and since it wasn't my church, I just kind of stopped growing. I remembered the things that in my youth that I would always read the Bible at night. And mainly it was so that I could get through for the year and having read the whole Bible and start again. That was something to be pleased with. And I prayed every night and asked the Lord to watch over me. But as I got into adulthood and realized that the Bible studies were not there, and the church I was going with, we taught, Sunday school was taught out of quarterly, which was often very dull, and there was no fellowship. The evening services were all for the youth, and there was no other activity in the church. So I still had my childhood faith, but as life progressed, I began to be overwhelmed with demands and focus and managing my life. I did the best I could, but I started to lean on my own understanding early. And I didn't understand how to let Christ actually drive my life. I did know that God wanted me to have, because something was in my heart that came out a word that had been tucked in, that God wanted me to have a Christ-driven marriage, a marriage that was focused on Christ. And I searched for that. And I'm so fortunate because my husband, one of the first things that we discussed in our marriage was having it being a Christ-centered marriage. He grew up much the same way I did. And I am so thankful for that, because otherwise I would have had a lot more trouble than we encountered. So most of my life I have been very thankful. And we have been doing our best to be good Christians, people, to look, on our focus of being successful more in our life. And God was about to open our eyes to things that were going on. Our first major adjustment was our move to Germany. We moved there to adjust to a new culture. The Berlin Wall was opening up. There was great danger that there was going to be war. And many of the people with me, because I married a man that was in the service, and we moved a lot. And as we were into Germany, with the fear that there would be war, many of the, particularly the dependents, were afraid of things that were going on. For some reason, I knew that God would take care of me, and I didn't have to fear as the others did. And we kept singing that ditty that I grew up with. God will take care of me, and every way along the way, God will take care of me. And it was kind of a blessing through us, so we didn't worry. And the Lord had given me an adventure spirit, so it was kind of enjoyable. We came back from Germany, and we did not find a church. We moved back on the post chapel where we attended church. There, the post chapel was open for Sunday morning, and we taught in the children's Bible study, and then in the worship, attended the worship service. But then the church closed, and there were no other activities during the day. So we were missing a lot of fellowship. We had a life with a lot of duties, work, moves, Wyoming, Vietnam for Bill, after had been married the first year, he was in Korea, Kansas, Louisiana, Washington, D.C. As we were about to see, God was opening to our eyes that no more than leading the life in the way we thought that God would have us to live it. It was more. It's funny how your life can be falling apart and not even totally realizing what was going on. The conditions in Washington, if you were still studying American history, you would see that there were many things going on in the 60s that were very difficult to adjust to. We had adjusted in Germany to the German economy and things we had left behind that were kind of luxury items like washing machines and electricity. You could plug things in without the German current, and we'd learn to adjust. So here's just another adjustment. Except that as we got there, we looked at those conditions and we were living on the economy and living with amongst the German, amongst the Washington, D.C. people. And we ran into a lot of people that we had different ideas than ours. We saw trouble coming and going, and we started praying. The first week there, our son was in junior high school, and he came home sometimes with things that had been piced out at school, like, do you really need parents? And things that were kind of shocking to see going on. And so we started praying and recognizing signs of deep trouble. Our son started the first year of high school there, and things began to show itself. My husband received a message that my son was not attending classes. He was signing in, but not attending classes. So he immediately left work and went to discuss this with the high school principal. We realized that he needed guidance and our presence, and we were missing something. We also knew that Beth would follow right along behind him, and Joe too. Something big needed to be done, and it was beyond any of our understanding of how to handle this. And it was a terrifying, fear is a horrible experience to go through. We started praying, and sometimes it was like someone else was praying for me. And then we immediately started discussing, as we had been doing, how we could take care of it, still asking God to lead us. And for some reason, he gave me a peace that he would do it, but I hadn't learned how to be still and keep my own way to do things out of the situation. So the first thing we discussed was how I would take the children and move back to Asheboro, that had been such a wonderful place to grow up for me. That may not have worked and may not have, but we felt we needed to make some changes right away. My husband decided to leave his job at the Pentagon and take a post in Platteville, Wisconsin, where we would he would start the ROTC there. So we moved, packed up, and moved back to Wisconsin, moved to Wisconsin. We got back into a church, and though there were very few churches there in the hometown, though a huge university. And we were back into the same kind of format without much spiritual guidance, where we taught still in the children's department. And they had a, by this time they were in junior high and did not have a good junior high program. So there was not much spiritual experience except what we had at home. Bill finished high school there, and it turned out to be a wonderful place, a great, exciting high school years, and it was a good place to be. Things calmed down considerably, and so we were back to praying, but still that old thing of using my own understanding to figure things out. Bill started college his first year, and I think he shared some of this with you. The first year he was gone to a James Robinson crusade and came to the Lord. And when he came home for the first visit after that, at Thanksgiving, he came home with two suitcases, one full of his laundry and the other full of those cards with scripture verse written on them. And when we pull those out and start on, he says, "What do you think this verse means to us?" And we started discussing the scriptures from what he was bringing home with him in our class again and how that applied to what he was doing. What a joy, and what it was bringing back into our lives. He did ask the pastor of the church if he could give his testimony, and that was not something that they did. They had not had, did not have a discipleship where they were still studying out of a quarterly. We did not hear anything about how God changes a life, how a changed life really was. And he shared that with him, but let him speak. And I remember one lady spoke to me afterwards. That was a nice speech he gave, and missed the point about him having come to the Lord with a changed life. And so we realized that a lot of the churches, that was the one that we were going to, were very same way. But we started looking at these scriptures and praying, because we had to move that year again, that God would take us to a place that would help us to learn more and get our hearts back with him and how he would lead us. So they took us, God took us back to Houston, Texas, where we joined the Second Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. And they did like this church did and just opened their arms to us. We got into deep Bible studies, lots of great fellowship, and heard with the fellowship how the Lord was working in others' lives and looking at how it was working in ours. And yet I was trying to do too much of the leading, as a matter of fact, all of the leading, without understanding. And it forced me to look back on my baptism. When I asked Jesus Christ into my life to forgive me my sins, I knew that I had lied to my mother, and I felt very badly about it. And so I asked him to forgive me for my sins and to lead me in the life I should. And he did, and I knew he did, and I felt peace about it. But as I looked and got into the full of scripture, I realized that when I asked Jesus Christ into my life and to forgive me for my sins, it was more than my act of sin, but it was more that put my whole life and let him lead it without me getting in the way. I had not learned to be still and listen to him. And I had just followed that because that was the way things were moving. And so I recognized that as I was baptized there into Christ and his body, that he was forgiving me for having led my own life and not listening and providing myself to the way he was leading. And to wake up with newness of life where those things were forgotten and you were leading a new life where you were going to be still and seek the Lord and what he was going to have happen, and learn to wait and to learn to think God had been with me all this way. He had been leading me through. God is so good. He had protected us all the way. So it was a wonderful 4 years that we had with the fellowship there and learning and becoming involved heavily in the church. Then we had to move. So we moved on back on post, where we were back to the morning service with teaching, which we didn't at this time, that lifetime, and also to church. But the Lord had happened to bring around two new pastors, a Baptist and a Presbyterian, and they were the two most evangelical men I have ever known in my life. So we went to church, and the first day we moved over, my next door neighbor came over and invited me to a Bible study, which we had been, so I accepted. We went to church that Sunday, and they were deep into the scriptures, strong word of God. And afterwards, the post chapel closed, but they had church in the homes and all around, and there were so many different Bible studies, Chaplain's Crusade, various other navigators and learning scripture that were being opened to people, and the ministry was brought in and bringing people in, and we discussed how God was working in our lives and how we saw it working in our lives. That fellowship made so much difference to help change our life. And so it was a great 4 years there again, and God was beginning to use us, and it was just a wonderful journey to see that God stuck with me and brought me through my years where I was not walking as I should and didn't even seem to understand it. But the Lord opened this up to me with a new fellowship, and it's just been a wonderful journey when I look back at all of that. And I guess I could sum up my life that the first 12 years were finding Christ in my life, 10 years of growing up and managing myself in the world, and marrying a wonderful husband that I am so thankful for. And then marrying Bill, his first year he was in Korea, and then our next 15 years were in what I call the lean years in the Army. We were kind of struggling ourselves and just leading the best we could, but not really following the Lord. The second 15 years in the service were full of being able to minister and grow in the Lord. It was just such a blessing. And then during that time, the Lord had opened up money to the trip to the post, the Army chaplains, and sent, given us the money to order a lot of strong Christian men to come in and give their testimony. And that was church post-wide, and that was a wonderful time. And for the women that the main chapel let us use to have Protestant women of the chapel, we were invited to some people, and one was right here in Chattanooga, Kay Arthur. And she came out, and we started studying her Bible studies. And a year or so later, she invited Bill and I to come one summer for 2 weeks and stay with them and have a 2-week course for just one Bible study, which was a deep course. And I saw that she had a year's study where you could come and receive credit. It's like going back to school with the Columbia Bible School, in college. And so we came back, and the first year we were here, we took all of those years in the different Bible studies for credit. So we were really studying, and it was just a great experience. And this, we were also teaching the young newly married at Woodland Park Baptist Church. So the second year, Bill was asked to start Christian businessmen in group, leading, reaching out to men for Bible studies for an individual during the day. And I was able to reach out to some of the women, the wives, and have a home Bible study with them, which was a great event, and individual counseling too. So it was a wonderful time to be here. It's been a great life here in Chattanooga. And as I say, we have been very blessed, and the Lord has taken us through and carried us through so much, and yet opened our life and never gave up. It's just a blessing. How great God is to bring us all through that. And my favorite verse now is in 3 John, verse 4, that says, I have no greater joy than to know that all my children love and serve the Lord. And all my great-grandchildren love and serve the Lord. And all my grandchildren love and serve the Lord. And my great-grandchildren that are coming along, I pray for them now that they, those that are here and those that are coming later, will love and serve the Lord, and will stay there and come up when you need them, and that you will seek the Lord always to keep that fellowship, that Bible and God's word in you, so you can see it relating to you today as you move on, because your busy days are coming ahead, the things where you're making your own decisions and making different choices, that they stay with you. And that you find a church that is open to fellowship so that you can continue to hear how God is not only working in you, but he's in working in other people's lives. And I'm so thankful to be here in Eastwood and to see that, to have the Bible taught so beautifully and discussed, to have the leadership and the fellowship that we have. I see many of you walking around, and I feel like I know you. I feel like I know your families, and that I can pray for you and be a part of your family. And that's just such a wonderful blessing to have that fellowship and to be reminded of all the time that God is working all the time and doesn't give up on you. He is carrying you through, and the things you have planted, he will bring about. So I just want you to know that I come to you as a very thankful person. This grace that God and the peace that God has given me is just such a blessing. And I know he's still leading me, still growing me, still makes me nervous sometimes. So I've learned that you can do it. And it's all God's work in your life and the way that he is moving you through it. So I am very thankful, and I thank you. If I can get out of it.
Would you want to pray for us?
What?
Would you pray for us?
Yes.
She's going to pray for us, guys. She's going to close us in prayer.
Oh, Heavenly Father, most Heavenly Father, I thank you for the direction you have taken in my life. And I thank you for the direction and the look ahead that are going to take of many of the youth here, and has continued to bless each of us and help us to grow. We thank you that your word is prominent in our lives, and thank you that it is your word that keeps us growing and keeps us still and gives us your leadership day by day, that we can allow it to grow in our lives. I praise you for the strong fellowship that we have here, and I just pray for each of us that our hearts will stay tuned to you and to your message, and that you lead us. And sometimes it causes us to be still, but we recognize that when we lean in on our understanding and trying to take over our own lives, it is not your choice for us. It's the choice we're taking. So I pray that you will keep us in all our lives and in all the struggles that we go through, that it is your word that we look for and it is your direction. And I thank you that you are given beyond anything we could ask or imagine, and as long as you are working within us. So we thank you and praise you, and just as you began tonight, how great God is. Thank you. In Jesus' name.